I'm Craig Murray. I wanted to talk to you urgently because I'm really worried that we are seeing the collapse of the fabric of international law and even the abandonment of the idea of Western democracy. I was worried that the world was getting hardened, getting inured to the genocide in Gaza. I myself found I wasn't crying so much in October, November, December, when I saw pictures of dead babies, when I saw a small child burying an even smaller child, a brother carrying the body of his little sister, children crying over the corpse of their dead mother. I used to cry regularly. I don't do it so much now. I don't cry so much because I've seen so much of it. And I was worrying myself, am I getting hardened? And there seemed less outrage in the world. The massacre at Al-Shifa Hospital that's taken place this last few days seems to have touched a nerve again in the world, certainly on social media. And it's just astonishing. It's incredible. You have doctors and surgeons executed. One lady doctor and her son, a surgeon, both killed. Many bodies found with their arms and legs tied together. Even children executed, children shot in close range. Hundreds of people dead. And then a hospital destroyed, burnt down, blown up, all the medical equipment deliberately destroyed. I've seen video of a child having its life support equipment turned off and being tipped onto the floor to die by IDF soldiers who themselves posted a video. And remember, back when this all started, Israelis first bombed Al-Shifa Hospital. They claimed it couldn't possibly be true. They would never bomb a hospital, and it was a Hamas misfire, even though the explosion was hundreds of times more powerful than anything Hamas have ever had. Their missiles don't have explosive warheads. They're just fireworks, basically. And it we Israel has now destroyed over 30 hospitals in Gaza. It's not the first time Israel's been into Al-Shifa. Previously, it had wiped out large parts of the hospital, and it certainly disarmed anybody in there. And it found those few guns and in knapsacks. Everyone was rather dubious about four or five guns got in there. But they knew for certain that there wasn't a large-scale armed force in there, because they'd cleaned it out twice before already and been surrounding it ever since. How could there be? It's just massacre. Everyone knows it's massacre. Everyone knows it's genocide. And this comes days after, just days after, the International Court of Justice issued a second order of provisional measures, specifically ordering a ceasefire. Everyone knows this is a genocide. There's nobody in the world who doesn't know this is a genocide. There's some Zionists who support the genocide, who choose to deny it because that's politically useful, but of course they know it's a genocide. They just support it. Everyone knows Israel is in breach of international humanitarian law. You see a dozen videos a day on Twitter or YouTube showing breaches of international humanitarian law. The pretense that it isn't by the UK, Germany, the European Union, United States is pathetic. It's just an obvious lie. And it's planned. I used to be in government. I was a British ambassador. I was a member of the senior management structure of the British Foreign Office for 6 years. A decision like the decision to cut funding to UNRWA can't be taken in a few hours, not in any country. In the UK, that would take at least a week of planning. There'd be submissions written to ministers. Other ministries with an interest have to be consulted. And there'd be meetings. Can't do it in a few hours. And after Israel produced these allegations, for which there is no evidence whatsoever of UNRWA involvement with Hamas, on the day the International Court of Judgment finding of plausible genocide came out, that very afternoon, all the Western nations, most of the Western nations, cut funding to UNRWA to help kickstart the starvation policy. And that was planned. That was coordinated and timed. It would have taken at least a week to plan that, to do all the coordination between all the different countries, to get it agreed through the ministries and government mechanisms of the different countries. That was a planned response to the ICJ report. These Western countries have been planning this genocide for months, if not years. And this coordinated line that Israel is not breaching international humanitarian law, when it plainly is, and when the latest ICJ ruling was unanimous, 15-0, ordering a complete ceasefire, which is responded to with the Al-Shifa massacre and with yet more bombings. And it's not just that this is destroying the fabric of international law. It's making a mockery of the Security Council. It's making a mockery of the International Court of Justice. But the whole fabric of post-1946 international law. I know many of you are skeptical about international law, but in fact, it had many great achievements. The International Court of Justice, dozens and dozens of rulings which have been respected. The UN has had success with peacekeeping forces and conflict resolution. All that is now abandoned, completely abandoned by the Western powers in order to promote the Zionist project. But that's not all that's abandoned. Democracy is abandoned. There's no Western country, except perhaps Germany with their Holocaust guilt, but there's no Western country where the people do not want this stopped, do not want an end to this genocide, and where people can't see it's genocide. But in almost every country in the West, both the government and the main opposition party supports the genocide. That's certainly true in the United Kingdom, it's true in the United States, it's true in Germany, it's true in France. We have a political class which is supporting genocide, and that's to do with the fact that we have a political class which isn't responsive to the people at all, doesn't care what the people think. The political class is entirely in the pocket of billionaires, and our so-called democracy in most of our countries is a choice between voting for a government of one bunch of neoconservative, pro-genocidal Zionists, or voting for a different colour of neoconservative, pro-genocidal Zionists. And the contempt for the will of the people and the contempt for the notion of democracy and the sense of impunity of the political class, who are all complicit in genocide. The fact that they have the corrupt International Criminal Court, which is different from the International Court of Justice, but they have the corrupt International Criminal Court and its corrupt prosecutors in their pocket. The system has broken down. All of us today are upset, are raging about this genocide, and there's nothing we can do. There's no way at the moment we can influence our countries, which are supplying weapons, which are supplying intelligence, which are flying aerial surveillance to assist the Israelis, which are giving logistical support to the Israelis. And we can't stop them. because our political systems are rotten. There is no leverage. The bond between the people and the political class is completely broken. They don't care about the people. They only care about the billionaires who are in charge of them and in charge of the media. And the media narratives we have seen, the difference between the truth that everybody in the world almost can see on their mobile phones about what's actually happening and the rubbish propaganda that the media is pumping out. Again, there's this total disconnect between reality and the socio-political system that we all live in. For me, it's a terrible warning. This dreadful, appalling, unbelievable thing that's happening to the Palestinian people. And our problem that we can't stop it. We have no levers to stop it. As a people, we have no levers to stop it. As ordinary citizens, there seems so little we can do. It's actually just a symptom of the fact there's nothing we can do to control our own lives either. There's nothing we can do to stop the massive and ever-growing gap between rich and poor. Stop the fact that the world is heading for its first trillionaires. While even in developed countries, people are sleeping on the streets and children live in poverty and education systems are collapsing. This is a terrible time for the world. What can be done? What should be done? Well, for now, let me just concentrate on Israel and Gaza. What needs to be done is a Security Council resolution under Chapter 7, which mandates action. That needs to mandate a ceasefire, mandate a no-fly zone, and it needs to mandate military forces to enforce it. And the mandate should be given to China and to South Africa, with others who wish to join them, to lead a force to militarily put an end to this genocide. It's time that China stood up and took on responsibilities that come with being the world's economic power, and it has the military power to do it, if it has the will. And we need to see that kind of Chapter 7 resolution introduced at the United Nations. And if the United States and the United Kingdom keep vetoing it, as I'm sure they will, that will only show still further the gap between the people and the political class and may eventually be part of what leads us on to action. I'm sorry, I wish I could sound more hopeful. I think all of us today feel a blackness of despair of what's happening in Gaza. We must all of us, take every single political action within our power to try to end it. Thank you very much.